Blog Talk Radio.
The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Everybody, happy Thursday to you here on Off to the Races. Special time of the week here, Thursday evening. We've been doing it Saturday mornings here on Off to the Races, trying a Thursday evening, 2 days out from Maryland Million 2021. My name's Frank Vespi, and thanks for joining us. We're going to be spending the next hour or so doing some handicapping, talking about thoroughbred racing and breeding in Maryland and across the Mid-Atlantic, and especially talking about Maryland Million coming up on October 23rd. Today's show is always powered by The Racing Biz. Check them out online, theracingbiz.com, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. Also, free mobile app. Get the free mobile app on your Apple and Android devices so you can always have the latest Mid-Atlantic racing news with you on your phone, tablet, or your other device. Stay up to date with our free mobile app. And also, I would be remiss if I didn't plug our free handicapping contest coming up Saturday featuring Maryland, featuring the Maryland Million, 8 races from Maryland Million. Lots of fun, a couple of prizes, but mostly lots of fun. So join us, free handicapping contest on theracingbiz.com. Let me deal with a couple of quick news and notes before we get to doing some capping with our panel. Going to be bringing in John Piazek, Nick Hahn, Derby Bill Watson in just a moment or two. But again, a couple of news notes here. Last week brought us the concluding stake of the 2021 Delaware Park Meet. The final stake that was the Rocky Run stake for two-year-olds, and it went to Cook Creek.
I had a really lot to pay on this horse today just because the way it won last time, you know. It was really impressive. It looked like one turn for home, wanted to keep on going, and that was short. So I said, today going long, all I got to do is get a good decision, and it'll be game over, you know.
16 pole passes. Cook Creek continues to lead at 13-1. Alpha Fool Monarch is closing in late, but it's too late to beat Cook Creek.
Cook Creek gets the money. I love that line that was Jackie Angel Suarez in that clip. I love that line. If I just get good position, it would be game over. And it was. Cook Creek gets the money. That was Cook Creek's second win in two starts for his career. The uncle, Mo Colt, has won both his races at Delaware Park. He's trained by Jerry O'Dwyer for Cheyenne Stable LLC. Also, quick shout-out to 60-year-old jockey Mario Pino. Pino, the longtime Mid-Atlantic stalwart, won a million races in Maryland, won a million races in Delaware. On Wednesday at Presque Isle Downs, he won twice. That got him the 7,000 career wins. He's just the 10th rider to reach that milestone. Pino honoring his riding commitment Thursday at Presque Isle. That's closing day. And then he's done. He's going to ride off into the sunset into a well-deserved retirement after a long and fantastic career. So congratulations and happy trails to Mario Pino. All right, I said we're going to talk a lot about Maryland Million, and we are. Here's a little clip here to get us in the mood, a little Billy Boniface talking about the birth of Maryland Million.
Well, Jim McKay had come back from the Breeders' Cup. It was the first year of the Breeders' Cup, and we were training track in the morning, and he said, Bill, why couldn't we do this in Maryland? And I said, well, we can.
Well, we can. And so they did. Maryland Million now hitting its 36th year, was the brainchild of great sportscaster Jim McKay, and he and Billy Boniface helped spearhead the creation of Maryland's Day at the Races, October 23rd. 12 race card, 8 of the races stakes geared to Maryland sired horses, 4 are starter events for Maryland sired or bred horses. So Maryland Million coming up on Saturday. Let us dig into 6 of the big stakes on the card, and let us start by bringing in some of our folks here. Going to be joined now by this august handicapping panel. And let's start, first of all, with John Piazek. John is the Maryland handicapper for theracingbiz.com, and he's also works at Freehold, America's Best Racing. He's kind of everywhere. John, welcome.
Hey, Frank. Good to be here.
Well, appreciate you taking a little time on a Thursday evening. I know you got a lot going on, so look forward to getting your handicapping insights. Now let us say hello to Nick Hahn. He's the Virginia correspondent for theracingbiz.com and also the author of the eponymous Nick's Picks Tip Sheet. I really just like saying eponymous. Hey, Nick.
Yes, hey. Good evening.
Cat got your tongue?
Oh, just a little bit. I mean, a big week of weekend of racing in front of us, racing at the International Gold Cup, the Maryland Million. It kind of fills this little lull before the Breeders' Cup. So, the great card in front of us. Great weather this weekend at Maryland. And for Mary Opino, I heard you mention that in the opening. I mean, great accomplishment there and well-deserved retirement there. We certainly knew him from Colonial Downs, got many memories of him winning races there. Of course, the 7 wins and the bobblehead dog giveaway. Congratulations to Mario. I got a chance to speak with him a couple years ago within the last year or two, and to reach, what is it? Maybe 12 jockeys have reached that platform before. I mean, it's not a big list.
No, it's 10 of them now. Mario's the 10th.
Yeah. I mean, just outstanding accomplishment.
All right. And finally going to bring in Derby Bill Watts. And Derby Bill is the former on-air handicapper for Colonial Downs and a voice you've heard for many years here on Off to the Races. Derby Bill, what's shaking?
Yes, the huge degeneration of the show for years. Welcome. Mario. Speaking of Mario, getting ready to watch his last ride ever here in about 5 minutes, so I'm a little distracted. So I'll let you host like you usually do. Ignore me and keep going.
He's got right, a show well, ticket on him.
Is that true, Bill?
I missed it. Sorry, I was focusing.
All right, we're going to let Bill focus for a couple minutes. Check back in when you...
Total degeneration. I got NFL. I got NCAA. I got Mario's last race. I got the Maryland Million PPs. I got the Hall Prince PPs. I just overloaded.
All over the place.
Sorry. Overloaded. It's a buffet.
It is a buffet. Life is a buffet for Derby Bill. All right. So, John, let's start with you. Quick question here. Give me your sort of overall impression of the card. What are you looking for on Saturday with the Maryland Million?
Well, it is absolutely loaded, as always. It's going to be a fantastic day. And I will say, after the past, really, especially after last year, but really after like 3 or 4 of the past 5 years, we've had just fantastic weather all meet long. We've only had like 1 or 2 like really rainy days. It's going to be fast and firm track, weather's going to be great again, as usual. And I think outside of Hello Beautiful, who I don't think is really worth trying to beat, as we'll get to in a moment, a lot of favorites you're always trying to beat. And I think there's a lot of value to be found on this card. And now I'm not cheering against anybody who is playing the late pick 5 tomorrow, Friday, but it would be nice if there was a late pick 5 carryover. But again, too, because I think there's a lot of value in that sequence.
Amen, brother. We love the idea of a late pick 5 carryover going in a Maryland Million Day. Nick, any overarching impressions?
I'm just the feels are excellent. It's just a good wagering day in Maryland. Full fields. very competitive. There are a couple of races here where it's just going to be like almost like pick'em races. You kind of love that from a handicapping standpoint. You know, and I'm sure a horse like Hello Beautiful is, you know, has a potential of pulling off a real majestic effort. But the card, John couldn't have said it better. I mean, it's just a lot of value, a lot of options, and that's what you really want on a big day as a handicapper.
Bill, you have anything to add, or are you too tied up with Peen?
No. How much? Jim McKay was my legendary memory up there. I got to meet him, and he always told me I was the agony of defeat.
This is why we love Derby Bill. You just never know where the sentence is going to end up. All right, gentlemen, let us dig into, we're going to do the last six stakes of the card here. We're going to start with the Maryland Million Turf Sprint. Don't want to spend a ton of time on this race. Nick, I'm going to start with you because the hot favorite here is a horse with which you are familiar. That's Grateful Bread, who won the Meadow Stable at Colonial Downs back in July. Is that where you're going to land here?
If I remember right, I think that was Madison Meyer's first stakes win. So, I mean, certainly a big player in this field. You know, Ferris Allen has Love You Much in this race as well, you know, at a bit of a price. I think this is one of these races where I think opportunity really surfaces. Sioux Street is a horse I think that could be in contention here as well. But, yeah, Grateful Bread, you know, very impressive win at Colonial Downs. But 10-horse field, I'm going to look for a little bit of value here. I'll certainly put Grateful Bread in many of the multi-race wagers. But it's not a horse, you know, I really feel comfortable singling. If you know, I like some of these other options here as well.
All right, so you're looking at, it sounds like you're looking a little bit at So Street and a little bit at Love You Much as alternatives.
Yeah, certainly a horse like So Street, you know, didn't, you know, ran on the turf at Colonial, but I think just has an opportunity here. You know, like the value on this horse, like the breeding on this horse, and you know, Grateful Bread will be the horse to beat. But 7-5 on a day like today, you know, coming up on Saturday, Karamanis. I just like the opportunity here of spreading out a little bit. I don't think Grateful Bread is the shoe-in of the day.
John, you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I mean, everyone is going to love Grateful Bread because he is a stakes winner, as you noted, and he lost Loyal Dash Stakes by a length last time out. People are going to look at that line and be like, oh, he almost won an open stakes. Now he's dropping into a restricted stakes. He's going to be great. But I do not think that was an especially tougher field than what he'll see here. I don't think it's nearly as big of a class drop as people think. He absolutely can win. He absolutely is, I think, the best horse in the field. But as you said, he's 7-5 on the morning line. He's more likely, I think, be like 3-5 or so, and I think that's just not what we're doing. What I like as an alternative is number 8, Rock the Boat. He's only raced 3 times, and as anybody who reads any of my stories or talks to me knows, I am a sucker for lately raced horses who are improving. And he ran a big race last time against Maryland Allowance Horses. He was toward the back early on. He really rallied strongly and got to win by 3/4 of length, and I think actually beat some of the horses in that race who he'll see here. And his speed figures are not that far off of Grateful Bread's. He has a lot of room to improve, and he's 8-1 on the morning line, and I think has a fantastic value.
I like it. I like that pick. Derby, you there?
Yeah, in honor of DJ Dave Rodman, don't rock the boat, baby. I'm not rocking a boat. On John there, Rock the Post, my pick, top pick. The value is tremendous, 8-1 morning line. The horse has won 2 out of 3 races, done everything he's asked. Obviously, he's going against a classier level here. Just solid second versus Grateful Fred in the Meadow Stables down here for Skies Not Fading. So I'm using them. I'll use all three of them. It's a pick three buffet all day long. I'm rolling pick threes at the Maryland Million because I've been saving my picky bank for this day. So,
you had that nice $46 winner a couple of weeks ago.
That always fills the piggy bank, a 26 to 1. Not quite 26 to 1 with Rock the Boat, but I do like Rock the Boat. Sky's Not Fading. And Grateful, you can't really toss him out as the Meta Stables champion. If he runs his two form, it'll be tough. But I'm going to rock the boat with John.
All right.
So we got a consensus here, and the consensus is you got to try to beat the favorite in the Maryland Million Turf Sprint. Let's move on now to the Maryland Million Distaff. It's our wildly pretentious fanfare for a defending champ in the race. And the Maryland Million Distaff going 7/8 of a mile has Hello Beautiful, who's 2-5. So we had a 7-5 in the turf sprint. We got a 2-5 here. Bill, I'll start with you. Are we beating Hello Beautiful, or are we just going to eat the chalk?
We're going to eat the chalk with a WWF Stone Cold Exacta play that might only pay enough for a one crab cake, a small crab cake. Hello Beautiful, just favorite. I mean, five of the last seven races have been unbelievable, and Holy Toledo, Mr. Toledo's red hot riding, and Brittany Russell needs some money to support her husband until he gets back riding. So just tremendous filly muscle here out of Hello Beautiful. And Street Loot, I'm used behind them in an Exacta. So just a 2-1 Lawrence Welk in reverse Exacta. The X Factor, X Xavier Perez and John Robb, the Charlestown combo that can only be beat at a good bakery up there. five wins, seven races, loves Laurel. Street Loot's dangerous, but nowhere near as good as Hello Beautiful. Hello Beautiful runs. She could wave to the crowd and pose coming down the stretch.
She won this race by 11 a year ago. John, what do you think?
I'll give you a story first. At the 2009 Eclipse Awards with Rachel Alexandra, that year Tom Durkin introduced the award for champion three-year-old filly. And before he announced the award, he told the crowd, just so you know, the emergency exits are here, here, and here. Because if Rachel Alexandra does not win this award, you are going to need to use those emergency exits. And I think Dave Rodman is going to have to make a similar announcement before the distaff, because if Hello Beautiful does not win, it would be like hell for the coach freezing over.
I'm sensing a theme here, Nick. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe not to the dramatic level that I've heard so far in this race, but at the same time, I consider this a free square when you're looking at your pick threes, pick fours, pick sixes. I like Street Loot, like Derby Bill mentioned. Didn't do well in the Tyson Gilpin, but might be on the upswing here as a 3-year-old filly, but. Yeah, Hello Beautiful is just—you got to treat this as a free square. Just it's too tough to beat this horse.
I would like to say too. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But I think any value in this race is going to be found in the Exactas and Trifectas, and I like Malibu Beauty number 6 to round out the Exactas. She's been in great form this year. Has hit the board an 8 out of 10 and has won 4 of her last 7. Had a big race last time in the tax-free shopping distaff, lost to Street Loot, has every opportunity to turn the tables, and if she goes off at like 10-12 to 1, Exact Metallo Beautiful should pay pretty well.
Parenthetically, tax-free shopping distaff is one of the truly great names of a stake in horse racing. It's hard to get past. You guys are right. It's hard to get past Hello Beautiful here. Street Loot is awfully accomplished. She's won, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 stakes, I guess 8 now, and won the tax-free shopping distaff last time. But certainly the figs don't stack up with Hello Beautiful, who runs routinely in the 90s, and Street Loot's never been beyond 82. So I think that's going to be your shortest price favorite of the day, gentlemen.
I do agree.
So let us move on. Now, going from two races with strong favorites to a race that is an absolute crapshoot, the Maryland Million Nursery, 6 furlongs, 100,000, 2-year-olds. There are 14 entered in this field, and the morning line favorite is Mr. Mox, and he is 9-2. John, why don't you lead us into discussing the Maryland Million Nursery?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever seen a morning line favorite who is 9-2, which really tells you a lot about this race. It is extremely wide open. At first blush, I did like Mr. Mox because he was coming off a big win at Delaware Park. He set the pace, drew off, earned a huge speed figures. Jamie Ness and Jamie Rodriguez, a excellent trainer jockey combo, especially at Delaware Park. They're close to unbeatable. That being said, Mr. Mox is going to be, I think, about 3-1, 7-2. And in a race like this that is a crapshoot, I don't think that you can bet the favorite almost just out of principle. I mean, like, why bother taking a lower price if you think everybody in the field is super evenly matched? Because of that, I'll try the one Buffalo, who is 6-1 on the morning line. He's about, I think, the third or fourth choice. I think bettors are going to be scared by his last start, Sapling Stakes at Monmouth, where he chose speed and backed up. However, that was around 2 turns. Now he's turning back to 1 turn, and he broke his maiden going 5.5 furlongs at Pimlico in July. Out on the pace, drew off pretty impressively down the stretch, 1 by 4 1/4 length. For Claudio Gonzalez, who has not been having an especially great meet, but his horses are always dangerous. Charlie Marquez gets the mound. He's going to be able to control the pace from the inside. And I think in that last race, even though in my opinion it doesn't have that much relevance to this one, is going to inflate his price.
So let me ask you this, John. Why does Angel Cruz jump ship to Claudio's other horse?
I do not know. But I will say, though, I do like both of Claudio's horses. I think Shady Money could also be a great value play at 12-1. But it's kind of interesting. That being said, Charlie does ride once in a while for Claudio. So it's not a full shock. Pound for pound, I think they're pretty similar riders. That being said, if Shady Money does end up going off at about 15-1, I could not back off. And I think he is, I think both Claudio horses are must users in a pick five.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from Claudio as a general rule of thumb. What about you, Nick? What are you looking at here?
Kind of an interesting take on this race. I think John's right. 9-2, 5-1. You don't see that on the favorite, except maybe in the Derby where you have 20 horses. That's the only time I can remember seeing prices like that on the morning line. But you have several horses here that tried the turf at Colonial Downs, didn't do very well, came back on the dirt and really kind of woke up. You know, you have Mr. Max here. Locomotive is a horse that won the Hickory Tree Colonial, but then really hasn't had a whole lot of good fortune on the dirt following that. I like Synergy Star. This is a horse that finished seventh first start in the Hickory Tree in that very same race, but came back on the dirt, ran on the mud, ran at Pimlico, and and came back and had a nice performance at 8-1 in a field like this, might be one of the better choices here with Toledo aboard, Holy Toledo. So, you know, I think that's 8-1 gives you some real value here. And this is obviously, you know, with 2-year-olds, young horses, this is where you want to go a little bit in spread, you know, go 4, 5, maybe 6 horses deep here in pick threes and perhaps even in the double. I mean, this might be an opportunity to go with Hello Beautiful and then just kind of spread out a little bit here in a double or even the pick three.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought on how to play these races, because if you could single Hello Beautiful and then try to look to beat favorites elsewhere, and this is certainly a logical spot to do it. I will make just a couple points, and then we'll bring in Bill on this. Locomotive, I would not hold the Timonium Juvenile against that horse. Basically what happened there is he got dirt kicked in his face, and he kind of freaked out, and the rider kind of freaked out and pulled him up. And when they brought him back to the barn, he was fine. He was actually on the work tab the next week. So yeah, that was just one of those freakish things that happens to 2-year-olds, and I wouldn't sweat it much as a handicapping matter. I mean, how you interpret the next race is a different question, but that's certainly I think that one's perfectly okay not to worry about. And also, a Synergy Star, Kenny Cox trainee. I talked to Kenny about that horse. I've written about it on theracingbiz.com, and they're super happy with how he's coming into this spot. So if you like the way he ran his last couple of races, there's every reason to like the way he's entering this one, as Nick just said. Bill, what do you think?
I got a different report on Locomotive. He had 4 or 5 funnel kicks at the fair and just couldn't go. And he was so heavy they had to van him off.
You got better sources than I do. I think that's what it is.
And I know most of the concessionaires love me. For many moons at the Maryland State Fair, back to my 38 special days there that I don't remember. Locomotive, very solid at Colonial Downs in that hickory tree, so I'm not going to toss him out of the trifecta or superfecta here, but I'm like John here. John and I are connecting like an Eclipse Award-winning John Scheinman almost. Shady Mooney. I don't care whatever. If it's Shady, I like it. Always liked it if it was called Shady. So he's moving up in class, but what a race last time at Laurel. Just picture perfect, dream trip. Just rolled with had an angel on board. I mean, you're using Holy Toledo and an angel up. Here, Angel Cruz up for Gonzalez here. Just a monster performance. Didn't really care for the Jersey Shore and Monmouth Park. Got out of the gate well there. Moved down a little bit, and he's moving back up here a little bit. But you get paid for moving up. 12-1, or as John said, maybe 15-1. Shady Mooney, price value here, like Derby Bill at a Dollar General.
Hey, Derby Bill, I just realized why you needed to watch the Pino's last ride, because he was on a horse named Homemade Moonshine.
Oh, I was rooting for him. He's fourth. Last two rides, he was third and fourth, so he got checks for the family, so he's done. But salute to him, and Frank Bethke or John Scheinman or Nick Hahn or somebody has to induct him in the Hall of Fame in Saratoga, and I'll go even if I get to be in a wheelchair. Because I got to raise my bobblehead value up from $25 on Mario Pino.
That's an important task. Okay, so here on off to the race.
Mooney, Shady Mooney. Shady Mooney's 15-1, and another one there is Bet on Blitz I have in the box. Bet on Blitz, another one moving up in class off of like a monster X-Man performance. He won by like 8 in front of, I think you might have been there that day at Laurel. Bet on Blitz. So I'm going with 2 15-1s and then the one that's recovering from the funnel cake episode.
I like it. So I feel like we're 3 races down, and there was a general feeling you try to beat the favorite in the turf sprint, try to beat Grateful Bread, Eat the Chalk with Hello Beautiful, Can't Beat Her, and then Spread Out Looking for Value in the Maryland Million Nursery. So three races down here with our handicapping panel, Maryland Million Handicappers, John Piazzik, Nick Hahn, Derby Bill Watson. We're now going to turn our attention to the ninth race on the card. That is the $100,000 Maryland Million Turf, going 9 furlongs on the green stuff for three-year-olds and up. And, aha! Fanfare for a returning champion. I'm kind of digging this fanfare for a returning champion thing. Pretty good year won the Maryland Million Turf last year. He was 15-1 for trainer Kelly Rubley. He's 15-1 on the morning line now. He, in fact, has not hit the board in 1, 2, 6 subsequent starts. Nick Hahn, does that streak end or continue in this spot?
The streak of winning the Maryland Million turf might end. The streak of not hitting the board is very much in play. I actually dig that music. That's pretty cool. It's a nice wrinkle to the show.
Yeah.
You know, Cannon's Roar getting a lot of respect here. But I actually went to some kind of magician. You know, had a couple good races. One thing I tend to look at, and I probably oversimplify handicapping more than I should, but this horse is one on yielding turf and at Pimlico and firm turf at Delaware. That's a pretty wide range in terms of racing surfaces. And I always thought versatility is a good component to any racehorse. When they can win, when asked almost anything, that's really kind of showing something. And that's why I like some kind of magician here in this race as my top pick. But Cannon's Roar is certainly a horse to be dealt with as well.
Yeah, Cannon's Roar has been second or third in 4 or 5 starts this year. He's been favored in a couple. Keeps running really good races, keeps not winning, and that is a bit of a knock against him. But, Bill, what are you? What's your take here on the turf?
He's winning money. That's what's important there. 12 for 14 at Laurel in the money, and 4 wins last year. I think he was better last year than this year. We're talking Cannon's Roar. In honor of your music, sounded like Caesar Sportsbook ad to me, but it works. Hey, whatever works is what I've felt. Like, Nick, you simplify horse racing. Sometimes you pick 12 horses at Colonial Downs in the past out of a hat and just go with it. Just put 12 numbers in a hat and pick it and go. I mean, there's methods to winning that make this sport legendary. But I'm going to try to beat Cannon's Roar with a horse called Jongji. Is that proper?
That's good enough, yeah.
Jongji. I couldn't figure it out. I tried to look up the Chinese vocabulary or something, and Yong and Jong, whatever. Forrest came out of the Japanese Turf Cup is why. That was the angle of me looking him up in the dictionary, but Webster never helps me much. Not an English major, obviously. Value play here. This horse is on again, off again, wins, finishes out of the money, wins, finishing out of the money, and is in synergy. The synergy, he's ready to win again. Today, hope is on this one. Baltimore Bob's a sire, loves turf. You remember Baltimore Bob, just a very fan favorite horse there on the turf. Jong and Street Capper here. I'm using 3. Beaten by past Virginia Derby champion English B last time out down here at Colonial, but I think he picks up and improves here. Street Capper, I think he's 5-1. So we got a 10-1, a 5-1, and a chalk.
I'm glad to hear you take up for John G a little bit. I really like this. I guess you could argue it's just a suck up fourth, but I thought he ran pretty good that day, and I feel like he's one of the few horses here who might be advantaged by having to go 9 furlongs, which is a little farther than most of these guys typically see. John Piasek, what say you?
Well, I also like some kind of tradition quite a bit. I think he'll be a excellent value if he stays at 9-2. In fact, when playing a pick four or a pick five, I think one of the keys is trying to single horses who are not single in most tickets. So I think if you're looking for a horse single in late pick five who may not be that obvious, I think some kind of magician is a very likely winner. He did excellent form. I think 7.5 furlongs was a little bit too short for him last time, so I'll discount that race. Take it out. He beat a very similar bunch in the Fine Stakes 2 starts back, and if he runs that race again, he's going to win. One horse who I don't think you've touched on yet, who came in second in the Fine, is Nick Papagiorgio, who came in third in this race last year as the favorite. He won't be the favorite here, I don't think. He doesn't race on grass that much, but when he does, he's in fantastic form. He's hit the board in 6 of 7 on the surface. He loves the lower grass. He's had a lot of success on it, and I think he'll have a great stalking trip right off the leaders and be able to pounce as he turns for home. And hopefully he'll fall the cracks and go off at a decent price.
Yeah, I was talking with Eric Rubin on a podcast he does with Gary Quill, and he likes Nick Papagiorgio as well. I want to mention one horse nobody's talked about because I think this is a horse whose form's a little bit darkened, and that's the 6-horse Try for Gold for Mark Schumann, 8-1 morning line. This horse won the Sussex, beating Cannon's Roar 3 back, then actually ran okay to be 4th in the Fine, led most of the way, tired late. Wouldn't hold that against him too much because it was a really yielding, screwy, tiring course. I mean, the DRF variant, the track variant was 36. So that was a pretty good effort, I think. And his last race, for whatever reason, he's usually engaged right from the first jump. He was not. He broke okay, but others were just faster. And he quickly found himself kind of behind a bunch of horses, getting some kickback. And it was very clear he was not at all comfortable in that. You watch the first quarter mile, and he's just not enjoying himself. I'd say look for him to be involved in the running and maybe in the clear, maybe in front or sitting just off the lead right from the jump in this one. And I think he can run a much better race in this spot. So,
well, yeah, he beat Trappist. He beat Cannon's Roar in that race you mentioned at the Sussex at Delaware. And we know how hot you are at Delaware. I saw you had a big winner last week at Delaware.
That's good. I can't even remember it, but as long as somebody does, that's what's important.
As long as you brought General Manager John Mooney around, you always end up a winner.
You know what? I was actually up at Delaware on Saturday, and for the first time that I can recall being at Delaware Park, I did not see General Manager John Mooney.
Did you check all the bars?
I didn't check any of them. Usually I see him in the paddock or the winner's circle. So I did not. I was disappointed in that. But such as
yeah, maybe he's getting his flight plans for Del Mar up.
Maybe so. Or maybe he's planning to go rustle up Delaware Park people for next year. You never know with John. He's a busy fellow. So, all right, guys. So that's 4 races down, 2 to go here. Maryland Million Sprint, Maryland Million Classic still on the agenda here on Off to the Races with John Piasek, Nick Hahn, Derby Bill Watson. I'm Frank Vespi. And we are brought to you by The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. All right, 6 furlongs, Maryland Million Sprint, $100,000. And, oh, yes, it's time for that once again. But that's the last time. Karen's Notion, defending Maryland Million Sprint Champ for breeder owner trainer Nancy Heil, going to make another effort at defending his crown here in the Maryland Million Sprint, which is a race which, if the morning line is correct, this is a two-horse race between For the Love of Bourbon and Double Crown. Nick Hahn, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I just was looking for the Love of Bourbon, and you know, it's Pino's week, right? So trainer Michael Pino, Mario's brother, has a real chance here. Well, you know, one thing to kind of keep an eye on are these also eligibles coming into this race. You know, do they get in? That's something you've got to be very alert with. Jason Traveler and where he told me to go, but. I kind of like this horse for the Love of Bourbon here, Michael Sanchez. I love bourbon. You know, I like it, love it. Yeah, little brown water, why not, on Maryland Million Sprint Day or Maryland Million Day. So makes sense there. So, yeah, for the Love of Bourbon, that's a horse I like, but pay attention to those also eligibles.
I want to jump in on that for 1 second before doing a little more capping. So the story on the also eligibles here, all of them in this race and all of them in the classic are Maryland bred, not Maryland sired, and they will only draw in if there are scratches of the Maryland sired horses, and then they can draw in one at a time for the Maryland sired horses. So those guys need to hope for a scratch. My guess is Jackson Traveler doesn't even come here from New York. But on the other hand, where she told me to go would just have to walk right out of a stall. So if there are scratches, one of those horses may well be the favorite if they draw in. So important bit of handicapping information. John, what about it?
Well, as you said, if those in the scratches, it does become a very different race. I think Jackson Traveler would be overbet if he does make the trip, and where she told me to go would be much the best. But assuming there are no scratches, we'll talk about Pain Body right now. I'm not that big on Double Crown, who is a morning line favorite. He is 9-5 as morning line. I think it's pretty dramatically overselling him. He's been racing against fairly similar company at Gulfstream Park. He's raced wide in a lot of his races and fouled in the stretch. He can't quite get there. And he's got post seven here, so I think it's going to end up being a similar story. He's likely to sit off the pace on the outside. He'll battle in the stretch. Everyone who ate chalk is going to get excited, and then he'll lose.
I like it, Joe. Yeah. Be definitive. Attaboy.
I do like Pool of Love of Bourbon quite a bit. I picked him on top. Michael Sanchez, doesn't really do it all the time, but when he does, he's great. He's at about 21% going into Friday's card. He has to win against Pennsylvania Breds last two starts back, in a very gutsy effort. He set just off a very fast pace and got up to win. He did come in third in an allowance race, but it was an open allowance, and the open allowances at Parks can be borderline stakes quality, so I would not hold out third place finish against him too much. I think he's in great form, and he had a big shot. Also want to give a shout-out to number 8, Ban on Tour. He's won 4 of his last 5 starts. He's been in improving form. He went gate to wire last time, albeit against a small field, but still gate to wire. He's pretty sharp while doing it, and he'll be a factor on the pace from the outside.
John, good points there. I think also notable on For the Love of Bourbon, he was actually involved in a speed duel in that last race at Parks and won that duel, put away, I think it was Chateau, and finished well ahead of that runner, and then the closers came and got him. So really nothing wrong with that effort. He did all the heavy lifting, and then other horses picked up the pieces late. So pretty good effort there. Derby Bill, what about you?
Yes, sir. A Double Crown is an acquired taste. Crown Royal. You have to get used to drinking Crown Royal. So a Double Crown is hard for John or somebody to take if you're a bourbon drinker. But he is sired by a Bourbon Courage, who also sires the other one, For the Love of Bourbon, here. So, you know, I just can't get past. My glass is full of both of them, too. For the Love of Bourbon, Double Crown. I wanted to put the Whiskey Horse in here, too, to make it a hell of a drink. But Band on Tour, I agree. Four out of the last five is impressive, moving up allowance. You know, just last two races were very so much improved. I just could shock the Bourbon Horses. But you know, I think it's just a race you want to watch, or as Nick said, put two in your pick three or pick five, or you know, and For Love of Bourbon and Double Crown, I can't get past them two myself in this race. So I'm going to use them in a pick three or pick four or pick five or pick six or even more.
Pick all you can. All right, a couple things that I want to say here. One, Whiskey and You. Gary Quill is on Whiskey and You. So for what it's worth, the former GQ approach here on the racingbiz.com, he likes Whiskey and You for Roy Peacock and Terry Overmyer.
Because he's down in class. He's moving down in class.
Yeah, but, no. He ran in the Chaladon, the Light Diffuse, and, of course, Grade 3 de France.
Gary Quill. I mean, he's a down-in-class kind of guy.
Yeah, well, he's a classy fella, no question about that. I want to actually point out something on Karen's notion. I think this horse is a little interesting at a price here, 10-1. Won this race at 16-1 last year. And that was in a streak of about four or five really good races that he ran in a row last year. And he finished it leading into this year. And his last start back in March, not his last start, but his start before his break, he showed a whole new dimension, rallied to be second in the Not for Love behind Where She Told Me to Go, who was going really good at that time. Then he had some little physical things, was off 5 months. Comes back, runs at Timonium. Maybe he didn't like it. 6.5. He didn't run too well, but it was his first start back. He needed one. Next one, turf. He's run a couple stinkers on the turf. I think he's proved he's not a turf horse at this point. Last race in a two other than, it looks like he's dropping away. Re-rallies, comes running late, gets second, gallops out well, finishes ahead of Kenny Had a Notion. I feel like this is a horse that's rounding back towards his best effort. I think he might make a little noise in this spot.
Well, you sure you don't own a piece of this horse?
I don't. I'd like to, because he's made over $200,000. But on the other hand, Nancy Heil, he saved the farm for Nancy Heil, so I'd rather she keep the money, but.
All right.
But I like the way this horse is coming in at a price, you know, and that's obviously what you're always looking for is, can I find a price?
That's why they make the ATM machines.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that. You don't want to do the walk of shame at the racetrack and go to the ATM, do you?
Done it plenty of times. It knows me by my first name, Bill.
I mean, just not even doing it. All right. That gets us to the main event. 9 furlongs, $150,000, 3-year-olds and up, the Maryland Million Classic. We got no defending champion, so no fanfare for this one. We've got 8 in the main body, 5 on the AE. If any of those 8 scratches out, pretty good chance that the next one that draws in is the favorite. But assuming none of them scratches, is it the strong favorite Tapping Cat, John, or is it somebody else?
Well, first of all, I do have to plug the America's Best Racing Maryland Million Quick Sheet that you can find on americasbestracing.net. This is going to be a completely different race if there's any scratches, because as you mentioned, if there is a scratch, Hoodmaker would likely be an odds-on choice and a deserving odds-on choice, I might add. Macklemore Avenue could also draw in, and he'll really shake things up as well. But assuming the field stays as is, Tapping Cat is going to go to the lead, and he's not going to be caught. There's no one good enough in this field to catch him. He's going to win by many lengths.
All right. That was. So is he a single, John, in your pick whatevers?
Yes, I would say so. Because I'm hoping he goes off at maybe like 4 to 5 at even length. And I think that's a point where you can single comfortably. Because sometimes if a horse is too big a favorite, it's almost a bad single. Because everybody is going to be using that horse or singling that horse. So there's not as much value to be found in using them. But I think some folks are going to use Dream Big Dreams or Supposer or Butcher Truth when they should be singling Tapping Cat. So I think Tapping Cat's a pretty easy crease square in the sequence.
Nick, do you agree with that?
I do and I don't. What is going to happen to the pace of this race is a little bit of a question for me. There seems to be, you know, it might set up a little bit more for a closer. And even though Tapping Cat, you know, played that role in his last win, you know, I wonder about a horse like maybe Torch of Truth. You know, is this a horse that can maybe take advantage, experienced horse? You know, even though more of a sprinter, I maybe see that perhaps as an opportunity here. I'm not fully convinced about Tapping Hat, and I think John's exactly right. I mean, Cord Maker coming off that victory gallop at Colonial Downs, and you know, some of these closer look, Always Mining. You know, I think those you have to really pay attention to that on race day. But I'm a little bit questionable about the pace in this race a little bit. I kind of like Torch of Truth here, perhaps is playing that spoiler role if the race really stays intact the way it is.
So you're leaning towards Torch of Truth here for Mike Trombetta, Pimentel up, horse one, a second level allowance. Timonium last out. Notable fact there, youngest of five whom he beat, has now won two straight. He won a two other than and a three other than coming out of that race. So looks to have been a pretty good heat there. Ziggy Mon, who finished third, also pretty formful. Derby Bill, what you got?
Kind of trying to beat Tapping Cat, but because he's not Tabasco Cat and he's not at Pimlico. He's at Laurel. He only won 2 for 14 at Laurel, so there are a blemish there, plus the 8 post is outside, even though it's not Kentucky Derby with the 2-gate 20-horse field, but the outside is a factor in this race with some speed in the inside, and he could, you know, he wants to get to the lead and wire to wire the field, so it could be a little struggle from the 8 post if we get any early speed from, Prima.
Prendini
will try to get out fast and try to get in everybody's way and could be successful from the 2 post because the 1's not going to get out. And, you know, the 3's a closer and the 4's a closer. And ain't the beer cold, needs a bigger cooler. Dream Big Dreams also a closer here. So, you know, I see one horse going out to the lead and see Poser's the one really imposing with Horatio Karamanis, knows how to lay back with for Hammy Smith and would be a major upset here. It's only 6-1 morning line, which is kind of surprised me, but he finally kicked back into form at Timonium there, which, you know, he's been off form a couple times here down in Virginia and then up at Pimlico, but he has won 3 for 13 at Laurel wins, so does know the winner's circle, just like Tapping Cat, limited, but they do know the winner's circle. And as you said, if Cord Maker gets in, it's Cord Maker's race, the Victory Gallop Stakes champ. If you get any scratches here, I'm going with replace him with Cord Maker.
All right, so certainly some love for Tapping Cat there. I do think Ain't the Beer Cold's probably going to be a forward factor in this spot. I talked with the trainer, Kenny Cox, earlier, and he basically said this horse doesn't like dirt in his face, and that's what happened to him last time. He got dirt in his face, and he sucked himself out of it. I don't think he's going to get dirt in his face going 9 furlongs, at least not in the early part of the race. So look for him to be forwardly placed there in the Maryland Million Classic. All right, Bill, what do you think? So who are we beating here? Which face?
Try not to.
Attaboy. Let's go through again and make sure we kind of wrap this up, put a bow on it. So general consensus is in the turf sprint, try to beat the favorite, Grateful Bread, although she's 7-5, he's 7-5, is vulnerable, right? Is that what we all agreed on?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly go wide. Don't leave that horse as a single.
Okay. Hello Beautiful, on the other hand, and the Distaff, you can single. Correct?
That's yeah. I think that's a consensus there.
Unless you
certainly.
Have a lot of loot.
If unless you have a lot of loot.
Treat loot. Just in case, you know, everything's not so beautiful.
And then, all right, the nursery, you could go as wide as you want, pretty much.
The all button would be feasable if I could, you know, borrow 20
expensive.
From all y'all.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I have to borrow 50 from you. Maybe borrow 50 from you.
Get 7. Get 6 or 7. Go deep.
Yeah, you need richer friends, Bill. That's your problem here.
I do. I need a $100 one-to-one better.
That's it. So, and then I felt like I was hearing in the turf, try to beat Cannon's Roar, right? Mm-hmm. John, what do you think?
I think, I mean, he's got a shot, but he always surges and just misses. He's lost a bunch of races this year by less than 2 lengths. I think he's a good horse to fade as favorite.
All right, so we're going to... I think everybody kind of agreed. We try to beat Cannon's Roar. Maryland Million Sprint, I heard a general sense that it's For the Love of Bourbon or it's Double Crown, but maybe a little bit of love, just a little, for Band on Tour. Is that about right?
I would say
so. Single glass. Single glass, double glass, bourbon, crown roll.
Watch who's also eligibles.
Yeah, that's
watch
it.
The A's, yep. Yep.
I got to shake things up.
Also, watch the AEs in the classic because, as in the sprint, the if one of them draws in, it's probably going to go favored. And in the case of the classic, yeah. It's probably Cordmaker.
Yeah, the classic's a mess if I get more scratches because you've got Macklemore Avenue, and you got Always Mining. You got 3 horses that can beat the top 8 in the field if they get in.
It would be the shock of the century if they managed to scratch enough to get Always Mining into this race. But
yeah.
But yes, obviously those horses all could factor. So assuming it stays as is, seemed like a pretty good amount of love for Tap and Cat, but he's no Hello Beautiful.
I would say he's not Hello Beautiful, but in my mind, he's close.
He's close. All right.
Assuming there's no scratch. Assuming there's no scratch.
Right,
no
right.
Scratches.
Do you guys, Nick, do you see him that strongly?
No, I think he's I would kind of treat this like Grateful Dead's race a little bit more, try and find someone to kind of go with them. And don't let me leave the broadcast here because I know we're coming to the end, but let me get a little bit of a mention. O Dionysus, a horse that is well known in the Maryland racing circles, is actually entered in the International Gold Cup races at Great Meadow. This is a horse that went a mile and a half in the Japan Cup several times. So yeah, good luck to that horse. 7-year-old Bodemeister looking for his first win over hurdles. So, wanted to get that in there before the we signed off.
No, that's good. Dionysus was quite a horse. He stakes winner on turf and dirt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so, yeah, and going trying for the hedges this
I like
Saturday.
It. Bill, you were going to say something?
No, obviously Nick gets invited to the owner's booth on that horse if he up at their jumpers. But I can't bet it, so I don't care.
That's the spirit. Okay. I guess that about does us. We're, 2 days out from Maryland's Day at the races. John Piazek, final thoughts on Maryland Million.
Well, as I said, it's a great card, a lot of vulnerable favorites, and that really is the best kind of card. Not just wide open races, because there are plenty of those, but races in which you have a favorite who you think can be beat. I mean, just in the races you talked about, Grateful Bread, Double Crown, Cannon's Roar, all morning line favorites, I would fade. And if all of them lose, even if Tapping Cat does win as a likely single, LA Pick 5 could pay pretty well.
Yep, no, you're right. The vulnerable favorite is the foundation of value in wagering. That's my overwrought statement of the day. Nick Hahn, what about you? Final thoughts, Maryland Million and Gold Cup.
Yeah, just waiting a little bit, no lull before the Breeders' Cup storm. But with this, hey, if you get to the bitter end and add cash to anything, there's still the Maryland Million Turf Distaff Starter Handicap, which is a race that is well balanced as well. So maybe a good race to go out on. But just a great card. I mean, what an event that's a longstanding anchor in Maryland racing, the Maryland Million. You know, a lot of racing has kind of been shaky, but the Maryland Million's always been there. And I mean, it's just a staple on that Maryland racing calendar. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it should be a lot of fun. These state days, you know, we had Delaware Owners Day a couple weeks ago, and I guess 3 weeks ago, and then 2 weeks ago we had West Virginia Breeders Classics, and now Maryland Million. I love these days because they're one for the home team, and the local guys who maybe don't get the accolades, don't get the attention, they get their chance to shine here, and that makes these days a lot of fun. Derby Bill, what about you? What you got?
I go back to the Jim McKay days and followed it for years. Having 30,000 people at Laurel at a live track, the atmosphere just, you can't beat it. It's almost, you know, it's not as par as Preakness Day or anything, but in Maryland it's pretty big if you're a suffering Redskin fan or WFT varsity football team. It's a nice Saturday, something nice to go to. And they used to let you bring in coolers back in my day. So it really was fun.
No more that, coolers, but go ahead.
Yeah, with that 11:30 post time, that's maybe a hard carry that time of day. But, 11:30 post time, it might be the greatest 6 hours in Maryland sport.
12 race card, as Nick said, 11:30 post time. Maryland Million 2136th edition. And that's going to do it for us here on Off to the Races. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to all of you guys who contributed today, to John Piazek, of course, to Derby Bill Watson, to Nick Hahn. Much appreciated. Thanks to our listeners for joining us here on the program. Without you guys, we'd just be talking to ourselves, and that wouldn't really be all that much fun. Tune in next week, another edition of Off to the Races. You can keep up with racing and breeding all week long on The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. You're listening to the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name's Frank Vespi. Have a great week, everybody. We'll catch you at Maryland Million 2021.